And it's time again to bring in our ethicist, Randy Cohen. Randy's the author of The Good, the Bad, and the Difference, and he joins us from New York to take on some of your ethical challenges. Randy, welcome.
Hi, Steve.
Glad you could come by. We've been getting lots of letters, and let's go straight to one. Lee McDavid, who lives in Norwich, Vermont, was looking for work recently, and she writes this: "The same day that I interviewed for a new job, I was asked if I'd be interested in working there. Go in, get the interview, you get the job. I thought about it over the weekend, and on Monday I said yes. At that point, the woman who interviewed me said she wanted to hire me, and management liked me, but they wanted her to interview at least one other person. And during the 2 weeks before the interview with this other candidate for the job, another company offered me a much better job, and I accepted. My question is, am I a heel?" Lee McDavid writes, "I did say yes to the first company, but I believe that their deciding to extend the interview process made me a free agent again, and so did I make an ethical decision." Randy, what do you think?
Well, she may be a heel. You know, I haven't actually dated her. But there's nothing heelish in her behavior here. I think she did, in fact, make the ethical decision. If she'd actually taken that first job, she'd have shown real integrity and not simply walking away from it because something better came along. But she didn't have the job. She didn't even have a final offer, let alone formally accept one. They were actually interviewing other people and could have decided to hire someone else. So neither she nor the company had made a real commitment. And so both were, as she suggested, free to continue exploring other options.
Well, we have Lee McDavid on the line from Norwich, Vermont. Lee, welcome.
Thank you.
Sounds like the first question Randy has for you is if you're free Friday night. But getting beyond that for a moment, if we can, what do you think of what he has to say? What do you think of his advice?
Well, I'm relieved. I felt badly about it, although because I did like the people in the first company, but the second situation was a better one for me. And now that we're a little past all that, everybody's still on good terms and we're all speaking, so that seems to have worked out okay as well.
I'd like to say that it's also particularly dutiful and responsible of you to call them promptly. That was the other excellent thing. I mean, it's much more fun making fun of people who act badly, but you seem to have acted so well. It's good for the labor market, but very bad for radio. Although there is something I think slightly freakish about your situation. That, well, Lee has two job offers in today's economy. Two. You can hear a sort of rasping sound in the background. It's millions of unemployed Americans grinding their teeth.
They just like to know the name of that first company, I think.
Oh no, you don't get that.
What do you do, by the way?
I'm a writer.
It's not my job you were interviewing for, is it?
Yeah, right. No,
Randy,
no way.
Randy, let's talk about that later. Okay. Lee, thanks very much for sending your note. Really appreciated talking to you about it.
Okay.
Our next ethical dilemma comes from Mark Schulte. He lives in San Diego, California, and he wrote us the following letter. Mr. Schulte writes, "One of my coworkers has a large decal in the back window of his pickup truck, a decal promoting what I had assumed was a heavy metal band, but recently I learned it's actually a white supremacist gang. That's what the decal promotes. I do not think anyone should be discriminated against because of his or her beliefs," Mr. Schulte writes. "And yet, don't I have an obligation to my boss? Shouldn't we avoid potentially negative community feedback? Might we be scaring clients away by allowing this type of advertisement in our parking lot?" The coworker is benign and dedicated, according to the letter here. He has not been disruptive in any way. And so the question from Mark Schulte is, do I have a responsibility to make our management aware of potential liability this situation might present to our office cohesiveness and company's public image? Randy Cohen, what do you think?
Well, if I understand Mark Schulte's commitment to free expression, it extends only until that expression might annoy his boss or cost him money, some commitment. You can punish conduct, how people behave, how people act, but you can't publish expression. He's right about that. And certainly not such feeble expression, a decal on a pickup truck window. Although I do think it's kind of cool that gangs have decals. In my day, they mostly just had prison tattoos. I think it's a phony baloney threat. You know, for months, he thought it was a band. There was apparently no danger to anyone, although on his behalf, I should say that for years I thought that Jesus fish had something to do with low cholesterol diet. So, you know, you can misunderstand these bumper sticker things. I think he should not rat someone out to the boss for expressing an unpopular, even in this case, a loathsome idea. I think what Mark Schulte should do here is mind his own business.
Well, Mark Schulte is here to give us his view of that. Mark, what do you think?
I basically came to the same conclusion that Mr. Cohen did. I thought about it a little bit, and I realized that, you know, if he is a benign person and he's not harming anybody in the office, there's no reason to bring it up. I think the closest analogy I could think of was maybe sexual harassment. If somebody's going to, you know, unseemly places after work, what business is it of mine that if he does that, unless he's coming into work and harassing the people in the office?
I have to say, one thing I wonder about this is this really a benign person if the decal that he chooses to have in his pickup truck is for a white supremacist gang?
That's a good question. As long as he doesn't bring it into the office.
People are so lazy, even white supremacists, you know, that they talk the talk or they decal the decal. But a lot of people just have horrible, disgusting ideas, but are just too lazy to do anything about it, mercifully.
So the power of ideas is not that powerful in your view, then?
Oh, no. Ideas are powerful. But here in America, Steve, we protect people's right to have even awful ideas. I should first say that I'm not a lawyer, but as I understand the law, because this is being displayed on private property, your boss may have certain legal rights to regulate actions on that property. But as an ethical matter, that's, in my view, neither here nor there, that free expression is something we really do value in this country.
I think you're right.
Well, Mr. Schulte, thanks very much for taking the time and writing us. Appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
Mark Schulte of San Diego, California. Randy Cohen is the author of The Good, the Bad, and the Difference. And if you have a question for him, all you have to do is just write us at watc@npr.org. And be sure to include the word ethics in the subject line. Randy, thanks.
Bye, Steve.